a more just world, one broadcast at a time.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. Yeah, what? Yeah, what? Yeah. I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
Turn around,
put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What?
Come on, get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and thank all of you for tuning in every Tuesday faithfully for the past 17 years. I can't believe we've been on the air for 17 years. Thank you to all the folks who've been sending out emails, text messages from around the world, and especially to our friend Rick over at Munich, Germany. Thank you all for tuning in and participating in making Crossroads one of the most listened to programs on the air. As usual, we open up to what we call the grapevine, information that you can use the grapevine. One in six people in prison, nearly 200,000 people nationwide are serving life sentences, according to a report by the Sentencing Project. Life imprisonment in the United States has proven to be a deeply flawed crime control method that disproportionately impacts communities of color, and particularly Blacks. There's a silent, deadly crisis sweeping across the country, and D.C. is being flooded with men and women being released from prison after serving 3, 4, and 5 decades. And we had a meeting last week. Tyrone Park and I, the Alliance of Concerned Men, with the chairman of the D.C. City Council to explore ways of addressing this growing crisis of men and women being released from prison after decades with no housing, no medical insurance, no mental health counseling, no nothing. And this crisis is only getting worse. So we met with the city chairman of the council. Hopefully, we'll get something going, because we're tired of guys knocking on that door, calling on the phone. Help me, help me, help me. Folks, these are our people. We got to do whatever we can to help them who's returning back from the institution. The National Guard was sent in to secure New York prisons where staff is on strike. Governor Kathy Hochul signed in an executive order activating guard members at prisons across the state where workers walked out for the third straight day in the prison system in New York City. The executive order issued to guarantee public order and protection of public property at the facilities also allow for correctional officers who are showing up to work to receive overtime pay, and directs the state correctional department to bring in an independent mediator to help resolve the strike. These disruptive and unsanctioned work stoppages by correction officers must end, as they are jeopardizing the safety of their colleagues, the prison population, and cause an undue fear for residents in the surrounding communities. More than 3,500 National Guard members reported for duty early Wednesday to assess the greater needs before issuing a larger deployment. The governor's office said in a news release announcing the action, the Guard members will maintain general order in the prisons in addition to distributing meals and medication to the inmates, officials said. That is something. The whole state is on strike. A bill prohibiting police from lying to children passes Virginia State Senate. A bill banning police from lying to minors narrowly passed Virginia Senate on Tuesday following intense debate. The bill introduced passed the Senate on a 22-18 vote with one Republican joining the majority. The law would prohibit officers from knowingly and intentionally making false statements about any material fact, including by use of inauthentic replica documents prior to our doing a custodial interrogation of a child to secure the cooperation, confession, or conviction of such child. There's something I think very wrong with having a system that we juggle with whether we treat children as children. I think that with the advent of the way we surveil ourselves nowadays or track things on each computer, there's just so many tools now that I don't think we need to do this thing of lying to kids. Children don't have the same brain development as an adult does. They're more susceptible to being influenced, especially by an adult, wearing a uniform. You basically can't try to trick kids to get them to confess. A typical example used is when law enforcement tells a child during an interrogation that their friend or friends has already confessed or that they have used DNA evidence tying the child to the crime. It's unfortunate that somebody would want to take advantage of a child like that. And that's been the news from Virginia. There is an economic blackout on February the 28th, Friday. Take part and share the news. If you haven't heard, there will be an economic blackout Friday the 28th nationwide. This means don't buy anything unless it's from a small business. No gas, no fast food, and definitely nothing from places like the big box retailers like Target, Walmart, or Amazon. Get the word out. We want them to see that we have the power. We will start with one day, then three, then Pacific companies until our message is heard. Please spread the word. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. And good morning to our distinguished co-host, none other than the dynamic attorney, Nkechi Taifa. Good morning, Nkechi.
Good morning, Roach Brown. How are you? And just so very thrilled with the guests that you have this morning, starting out with my dear brother. I'll let you introduce him. And then he ended up with my good sister, and we'll get to her later.
There you go. And our guest for this morning is a special guest and a friend. He's no stranger to these airways. We've been with him a few times. And he's one of the few former wardens that I like. Now, I don't usually like wardens, but I like this warden. And he's been a good buddy and a friend ever since we met. So good morning, Brother Carlisle Holder.
Good morning to my good brother Roach Brown and my amazing dynamic sister Nkechi.
Carlisle is a proven strategic and innovative executive leader with a career spanning more than 42 years in criminal justice. Oh, his 27 plus years of distinguished service with the United States Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Prisons. He served 23 of those years as a supervisor and 12 years as a warden. He is a veteran of the United States Marines, and this man is highly respected and professional in the field with proven expertise in the area of prison management, operations, evaluations, and anything connected with prisons. Now he's been focusing on working with those rosters that's coming out. Good morning, Carlisle Holder.
Good morning, family. Good morning. How is everyone doing on a cold winter day?
Yes, it is. I want to thank you for coming on because you have, again, the National Returning Citizens Conference. We attended the one last year and the year before in the kitchen. Now, a lot of us have. You want to give us a little rundown of what this fifth annual National Returning Citizens Conference is? When and where will it be, sir?
Yeah, so we are so excited to host the fifth conference, as you just alluded to, that the last conference was in the DMV, and it was a very, very, very successful conference. And this year, it's going to be held outside of Columbus, Ohio, on April the 10th and the 11th. And we are so excited, and my sister Nkechi is part of our conference planning committee. And we have generated, in fact, we had so many workshops. We couldn't accommodate. We selected 28 workshops. I think we had 52 submissions. And so there's a lot of great information that would help returning citizens and those formerly incarcerated, providing them with a variety of opportunities in education, employment, training, healthcare, mental health, and so forth. So we just want to be that vehicle that can provide them with real opportunities to connect and get the services that they need. I heard you mention that you met with the head of the DC council to address these issues.
Yes.
And we know that it's important. You know, homelessness among formerly incarcerated is increasing, and we gotta do something about it. So we hope this 2-day conference will bring experts from all around the country to address some of these critical issues.
Okay, thank you. I got something that's been playing in my head with all this stuff that's going on with Trump and his, with the chainsawing of all these agencies and programs and fine folk of right and left. What impact, if any, has President Trump's executive order campaign has had on what you're doing now with the returning citizens and with the conference you're having next month?
So what I've always tried to do is be apolitical as it relates to, you know, serving our formerly incarcerated individuals. So we don't fit into the category of the DEI initiatives and those stuff. I think it's important that we don't get these people that needs our help most caught up in the political grandstanding that's taking place. So we have stayed away from that, and hopefully that we wouldn't be impacted, because we're just really trying to serve those that needs a hand up, right? We don't want to get, you know, we don't want to create any friction. You know, I in fact, for me, I say now is a good time for us to just sit and be silent.
Yes.
And don't get caught up in what's happening. So we've tried to stay away, you know, that we don't get impacted by that, because we want to make sure that we can provide the services to the men and women that are returning home and those that are formerly incarcerated that's impacted by the disparate treatment and the lack of opportunities for them.
Nikisha, I didn't know that you were with the planning committee. What's your take on this? And have you seen any fallout, how this affecting the conference, or will affect it, or won't it affect it?
Oh, I absolutely don't think it's going to affect it. And just as my dear brother Carlisle Holder says, this is apolitical. It really is. You know, Black people, as we know, are disproportionately in the criminal punishment system. But disproportionate means there's still more white folk in there. We're just there at disproportionate numbers. So, you know, these are issues that really impact everybody: imprisonment, punishment, reentry. And so what the National Returning Citizens Conference is striving to do is to make opportunities for reentry available to populations. And of course, since we are most disproportionately impacted, then many of those things will, many of the benefits should be occurring to those who are in situations such as ours. I mean, some of the speakers that are going to be part of the conference, Deanna Hoskins, for one, you know, the a mover and shaker behind the organization, Just Leadership USA. I mean, again, Black folk, white folk, Latino folk. I mean, it's just for everybody's impacted by incarceration. We are just impacted far more from incarceration issues as well. And so, you know, I think it's going to be just a phenomenal coming together of the population that's just trying to have that second chance. You know what I'm saying?
There you go,
and
there you go.
The National Return Citizens Conference is trying to do everything that it can to make sure that we all get that second chance.
You know, I want to throw this in, because every chance I get, I got to say this. Walter Ridley was a close personal friend of mine, and he was like the warden, and he was the chairman of the D.C. Board of Parole. And I caught a lot of pushback, because he and I got to be buddies, and I'm an inmate, and he the warden. And we walk around laughing and joking. And the guy said, "Man, why are you laughing and joking with the warden?" I said, "Who's the warden?" I said, "That guy there." I said, "That's my friend." So it didn't matter what uniform you have. When you accept people for who they are. And when Walt told me about this guy, Holder, I said, "Man, he's quite a guy." Man, and I met this guy walking on the money. Holder, I want to tell you something. If I was 10 years old, I'd still be 10 if I met you. Thank you for being the kind of man that you are. And man, good people work with good people. If you meet one good person, they refer you to somebody else.
Yeah, you don't.
Huh?
No, I say you being so gracious in your compliments, but I guess as people of African descent, we understand the trials and tribulations that comes with mass incarceration. And I think each one of us has an obligation because we either have a loved one or know someone that's been impacted by it. And those of us that are in position to do something about it, we should do it, regardless of status, position, or where you came from. So I want to have impact. My legacy is not just to be a warden, but it's to help the least of those of us.
There you go.
I'm excited to work with folks, like-minded folks, to do the great work that has to be done, because as you hear the phrase, the work is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yes.
So people do a lot of talking, but no action. I tell folks, I don't want to have be around nobody that just want to talk and do nothing. I've had enough of that. So Nkechi and our team is doing a phenomenal job. I had an update yesterday. I think we have close to over 200 individuals registered, and the rooms are running out. We are the deadline to book your room is March the 10th. Uh-huh. So we want to encourage people. The max we're going to hold is 400. So I would suggest you visit. All the information is on our website, www.nccrconference.org. And you'll get everything.
NRC. I think that's nrccconference.org.
Right.
Okay. nrccconference.org.
Right. Yeah, the second C spells you have to spell conference out.
Right.
Yes. So,
let me ask you this. You got people who are listening to the show, and the conference is in Ohio. For folks who are interested who want to participate and go to Ohio, is there any assistance or scholarships or whatever to help those folks who would like to attend this conference who don't have the resources?
Well, there's an opportunity for justice-involved individuals to get scholarships. And there's a form that they have to complete as well that's on the website. No, there's a limited amount. So I think the last count, we was getting to capacity. So if you are interested and you are justice impacted, you can go online and apply for the scholarships.
Okay.
Would it help with travel? Is that a just?
And what would the scholarships help with the housing, travel? What would it help with?
That would only go ahead and keep.
I was just going to say it's registration. There is a registration fee for the conference, but for justice impacted people submit that application before the deadline, the registration fee is waived.
So she said justice impacted. That means those folks who are on parole, probation, home arrest, electronic monitoring. Justice impact means all you jokers have just got out the jail, been out the jail. That's what that means.
You got
every
it.
10 years they change their name from it. Resident, inmate.
Well, we try to make it broad so we don't leave out any particular group of individual that's been justice impacted, right? So it's when we throw the net out there, we want to catch everyone that has the opportunity because we're really excited about the conference and the speakers as our team eloquently stated, 50 forward, moving forward. We got to find a better way, right, to deal with mass incarceration, break the cycle of it. And if we can break the cycle, make sure that individuals that are impacted have all the resources so they can become productive citizens upon return to our communities. Because they come in, whether we like it or not. They come into our community. Right?
They come into America.
Yes. So we want to make America great by making sure that every person that's coming out of a prison or impacted by the justice system have a fair chance to be successful.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is it you hope to expect out of this conference? What are your goals? What are your top two, three goals of coming out of this conference?
Well, you know, our goal as we move the conference around the country is to provide resources, you know, to those that are returning home and those that are home, and get to hear some phenomenal stories of people that has been impacted and took the challenge and have rebuilt. We have a returning citizens panel that's going to be led by Mr. Taylor, who is the husband of Fantasia. And we just have some phenomenal speakers and keynote speakers. We have Chef Jeff out of Nevada, and we have Miss Hilton. So we, you know, and all this information is on the website. We have really raised the bar this year. Last year we had a few little hiccups, but this year we came out and we're just fine at full speed, and folks are responding based on that. And really, it's all about the team, right? I always say that teamwork makes the dream work, and we have a phenomenal group of individuals that I'm just so happy to be with, to put forward such an amazing opportunity for the least of those of us.
You know, you just said something I like. You say teamwork makes dream work. I like that. Can I use that? Teamwork makes dream work.
You can use it. Huh? You can use it like I use your word, Merry Christmas.
Well, I got another word for you. We don't take no jiggy boogie. So there's going to be no jiggy boogie at this conference. When you come there, you got to be on the real deal, McNeil. So no jiggy boogie. But you got another guest speaker who blew us away. When the late President Jimmy Carter passed away, he had a private service down in Plains, Georgia, this little church. And Tony Bowden, Tony Loudon, man, that guy blew me away. I had no idea who he was and how articulate his brother was. And he kept quarterback, orchestrated, and coordinated that funeral with late President Jimmy Carter. I was amazed that I've never heard of this guy
before. So let me do you a favor. If you want him on your show, I can get him. They just released a documentary on him called The President Pastor. It's a beautiful documentary of him and the relationship he had with President Carter. And he's one of my best friends. He's one of my close associates. So whenever you're ready to bring him on the show, you just let me know and I'll make it happen.
We will be calling you soon, man, because that guy there, man, I've never seen a brother that sharp, that articulate, and he orchestrated, quarterback, coordinated. I mean, he had that whole thing. Like, I never seen a program or funeral or reception organized like that. And I take my hat off to this guy, Tony. I didn't know that the late President Jimmy Carter's pastor was a brother.
Yes, there's an amazing story. There's an amazing story behind that. As well as, if you don't know, he was the former re-entry czar in the first President Trump administration.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Be streamed.
Say that again.
Oh, will any of the conference be streamed? Any of the sessions?
No, we are because we did it in previous years, and the return on investment wasn't that great, and because of the times we're in and the need to be cost conscious, we decided that we'll tape a couple of the sessions for rebroadcast at a later time. But we are not doing any live sessions this year.
Okay.
Let me just say something. You just mentioned that the individual used to be the Trump's reentry czar. I just want to just announce that the one appointment that I do agree with, Trump named Alice Marie Johnson as the new pardon czar. So she will be in charge of recommending who gets clemency, who gets pardons. And we know Alice Marie Johnson is a dear friend of Crossroads.
That's right. In fact, we had her on like 6 months before she got the pardon from Trump. And one thing about her, she got it in June. We had it on the show in January. In the end of June, Nikisha, she called us. I had no idea. She called us and said, thanks for putting her on the air. And Trump gave her a pardon 6 months later. I mean, we've had people on who have been blessed by the president and other folks. And this line, I just heard this. Alice Marie Johnson would be the new pardon czar.
It's awesome.
What's that? For those who don't know, Alice was serving a life sentence in prison, and many of us, many of the formerly incarcerated organizations, National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, Just Leadership, and all the groups were, and Can Do Clemency was pushing for Alice Marie Johnson to get clemency, and she finally did get clemency, and she did get it under the Trump administration. So and Kim Kardashian was the person who helped to bring that over the top. So she definitely has his ear. I will say that is one appointment that I 100% agree with. That's all I'm going to say with respect to that.
Now, we agree with that 1,000%. And she is quite a lady. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to play a small role in bringing her story to the public.
Well, I think it's important to have someone in that role, because I think she can have real impact, because she's been there. She knows, she's met a lot of folks, and she can make recommendations. And sometimes we have to, like, I'm so happy Sister and Kichi raised the fact that we don't always have to agree, but when good things happen, we got to lift it up. So we want to pray that she will come in and she'll have impact in this important role, because God knows we have some folks there that shouldn't be there. You know, me and Kichi, we have a good friend, Veranda Bowers. Yes. 51 years that should have never, you know, he should have been out 30 years before that.
He had it on a couple of months ago, Veranda Bowers. He was on about a couple of months ago.
Yeah, that's one of my closest friends as well. You know, he called me he'll be in, we're going to make it, get him to Ohio.
That's great. Yeah. And, you know, there has not been one formerly incarcerated person that I have met that knew you when you were a warden, Dr. Carlisle Holder, that has not just sung your praises to the highest. They all love you. I mean, the impact that you have had on the population has been tremendous. So I just want to say hats off to you.
You know what? You remind me of, we had a warden in Lawton named John O. Boone. He came from the federal system, and he turned Lawton around. And guess what his nickname was? What? We called him Jesus Christ. Warden's nickname was Jesus. Because he walked up to him and said, if you let me off for 10 hours, I'll come back. He said, look me in the eye and give me your word. And he looked him in the eye, gave me your word. He would give you an 8 or 10 hour furlough. And everybody said, man, we got Jesus Christ as the warden. And he had guys in the street all day long, several hundred. And would you believe, Carlisle, nobody escaped? Everybody returned back to the prison? It led to me getting the presidential executive clemency from doing the same program under John Boone's administration. And you remind me of John O. Boone, Carlisle. You the kind of guy, if you was in the joint when I was in there, I'd have been sitting at your desk and said, man, need to order some coffee. We ain't got to count. I'm counting with you.
y'all are just being so kind. I just felt like, you know, that I think we have to deal with the prison system in a way that is good people that made bad choices, right? And we have to give them every chance for redemption, restoration, right? And there's some that's not gonna take it, but in my time, most of the guys, when we create an environment for change, they embrace it and they prepare themselves. The fact of the matter, we don't have a lot of it going on. Right. So that's why we continue to see a broken system. Right. So we have to reevaluate how we're going to deal with these individuals. They're not animals. They need to be treated as human beings.
There you go.
Right.
You
So that's what I did. There wasn't anything special about Carlisle Holder. I just recognized that I could be one of them.
Human beings, man. You treat people as human beings.
Yes.
We're coming to the end of the show. We got another guest in the next couple of minutes. I want you to give us a recap, Brother Carlisle, on the Returning Citizens National Conference, when it is, the date, the time, and how people can get scholarship or financial assistance if they want to attend.
Well,
let my
sister close it out. You know, she's part. I don't want to just, you know, we want to have equal opportunity. I don't want to get a call later saying, you know, hey, you know, what is this? What is this? Is the Carlisle Holder show? No, but no. I love my sister. to close it out. I've known her like I've known you for many years, and she has afforded me so many opportunities to be on her program and the great work that she is doing. So I'm so happy to be partnering with her.
Thank you.
And because the struggle is real.
Come on, Nakisha, because we got another guest.
Okay, so I just want to say that the National Returning Citizens Conference will be held outside of Columbus, Ohio, on April 9th through 11th. There's still time for justice-impacted people to get a scholarship or registration. You can go to NRCCConference. Spell out the word conference.org, NRCC conference.org. It'll tell everything about the conference. It'll tell the keynote speakers, Chef Jeff, who went from incarcerated person to world-renowned chef, Donna Hilton from A Little Light of Hope, Deanna Hoskins from Just Leadership USA, Tony Loudon. You know, so many people are going to be a part of that convening. And again, it's being put forward by Carl Holder's group. Tell the name of your group. And he's also the author of a book that was "Does Anything Good Has Come Out of Prison" or something along those lines.
Yes.
So just tell the name of your group again, along with the 400 years of African American history and culture.
Yeah, it had been sponsored by the 400 Years of African American History Commission, the National Alliance of Faith and Justice, and the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction. So we are so glad for their support, because without it, it couldn't happen. So again, we look forward to an amazing, amazing event. We hope you can join us. Again, it's going to be capped, so you better jump on and visit the website and register. And we look forward to seeing you. And thank you, Roach. Thank you for allowing us to promote this very important conference.
And this conference is important. And one thing to say, there ain't no jiggy boogie with this conference. You get the real deal. So you got another word called a jiggy boogie.
I got it.
Okay, I guess it's been Carlisle Holder, the president and CEO of the Holder Group. He's been a good friend. He's been working for about 40, 50 years in the criminal justice field. And he got a book out, Can Anything Good Come Out of Prison? Check out his book. The guy is powerful. We want y'all to participate in this conference, and we'll be in touch with Carlisle, and we stand with him and support him. We got another guest coming on, and Carlisle, I'll be in touch with you later. And Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all.
And the teacher, we got another guest coming on, and that guest is... And Aisha Braveboard.
Aisha, come on now, Roach. Aisha Braveboard. Let's get it right. Get my dear sister's name.
I didn't have my teeth in to teach you.
You know, I'm just
your station for jazz and justice, 89.3 local. The call in number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893.
And there she go right there. They go to dynamic Aisha Braveboy. I just seen you on the screen there, pretty lady. And
hello.
Yes, the phenomenal evening. Aisha Braveboy. The next PG County executive.
Favorite professor, how are you?
I am wonderful. Stop that professor stuff. That was 25 years ago.
Why are you telling my age?
Well, I'm even older, so hey. How you doing, my sister? Oh, it's just such a thrilling. Your career, girl, your career has just been so absolutely phenomenal. Oh, my goodness. I'm just so proud.
Well, you know what? I'm a Howard-trained lawyer, you know, and we have a special responsibility. And I walk behind some incredible people like you, Professor, I can call you professor. Don't tell me I can't. I appreciate you and all that you and others poured into me. And, you know, I'm just paying it forward.
Yeah.
Thank you. We invited her on because last week we had on Calvin Hawkins. And this is we decided to bring the two front runners in. And y'all are battling right and left. And I just want to say, I was at the meet and greet last week. Aisha, I've been working in politics since 1979 when Mayor Walter Washington was defeated by Marion Barry. And that's been a long time. And I've been through several meet and greets. But the program y'all had the other night over PG County, it blew us away. I've never seen several hundred community leaders, homeowners, people came up and it was orderly, it was professional. Yeah. Did nobody get ignorant or stupid or start no stuff? Usually when you get 400 or 500 of us, you got to call the police. Somebody can do something crazy. And everything was peaceful. It was well organized. And the young kids that y'all had participating, asking the questions, from the Jack and Jill program, man, that was unbelievable. And which in your presentation, lady, I take my hat off to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was wonderful. We had the Devon Nine got together, all the sororities and fraternities, along with Jack and Jill, to really educate the public about all of the candidates that are running. It's a very important position. And as I've said, you know, regardless of who wins, you know, we all have to unite, got to come together. These are difficult times right now. And with so many people facing such uncertain futures, they don't want to see bickering and fighting. They want to see us united, focusing on their interests. Yes. And we have a chance to really represent that and model that here in Prince George's County.
I want to take my hat off to you and say thank you, lady, because you just said a mouthful. We all got together. What President Trump is doing to the country, to programs and projects, it is scary. I mean, it is very, very scary. And when you see he's putting selected people, it ain't about the Constitution. It's about loyalty to him. Regardless of what the law or the policy dictate or regulate, this is some scary, scary times. And I know for you to run down to get into position and you got this man behind you over top, lady, that's going to be that job as county executive is going to be extra, extra hard.
But let me tell you, there's another man up above.
That
I got faith in, you know, so that.
Yes, ancestors, deities, and saints. I'm sorry. I'm gonna put them all out there.
And what is so really frightening, not just frightening, but Joy Reid, the Black commentator, and Lester Holt. They're both losing their position. So it's obvious that Black people are being pulled from the airways.
It's not just Black people, it is people who dare to speak truth to power.
Yes.
People who hasn't just been Black people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I believe there was another guy, Acosta, who also left his show. I believe it was CNN, I could be wrong. But again, there's a concern that even media that provided the diverse voice is, you know, afraid to go too hard on what we know is an atrocity, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to go on a different strain, if that's okay. Aisha, as state's attorney, oh my God, you led and orchestrated some really, really groundbreaking achievements. Can you just kind of walk us through some of the greatness that that's part of your portfolio as state's attorney?
Yes. Well, let me tell you this. You know, Lady Justice, with that the scales that are balancing, you know, I never truly appreciated that until I was in this role. Trust me. And it's always a balancing act, because we have, and I'll have to say, you know, our job is to hold people accountable, and we do that. We have an over 90% homicide conviction rate, a 91% gun conviction rate. We have brought down carjackings by 62% this year. We are so happy about those numbers. We have prosecuted tough cases. We have gotten tough but appropriate sentences. And so we feel like we're sending that strong message. Crime is down now in Prince George's County by over 30%. And that's from the hard work of my office along with my law enforcement partners. So I'm very proud that we have gotten justice for thousands in our community and we've held people accountable. On the other side of that justice system, well, actually, I take that back. The justice system is a continuum. So along that road of justice, you have people who have committed very serious offenses, but who have been redeemed. And I, again, am a woman of faith. And so my job is to not question God's word, right? But to have faith and to practice. And when I look at opportunities that people should have to prove and show that they belong back in our community, I haven't shied away from it. So we have over 80 individuals who had life or life equivalent sentences who are home. Who are home with their families. Many have gotten married. Many have, you know, they're working. But pretty much all of them want to be an example, a credible messenger to those who are heading in the wrong direction to help them get back on track. And I have to tell you, I am grateful, again, to their example. The other thing we've done is I was the first state attorney's office to kind of come up with a program to assist people while they're incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have to hold people accountable. They have to serve their time. Say it again. Okay. Well, let me tell you. So we have a virtual life skills and life planning program called our Emerging Adult Program. It started out because I recognized that a lot of our violent crime was being committed by people who were legally adults, but biologically adolescents. So those 18 through 26. And so what I recognize is that they need additional support while they are serving their time so that when they come home, they're equipped to make better decisions. You know, the biggest deterrent to crime is actually age. Most people age out of crime. And so if we can get them in that critical period to start thinking in the right way, we can absolutely change their entire trajectory. So we have this program where we provide mentoring and life skills training virtually because we started this during COVID. You know, I was like, we're not going to just rest during COVID. We're going to do something. So we started during COVID and it worked out because we're able to reach people who have home plans back to Prince George's County, serving around the state in different facilities. So they get a workbook. They get weekly mentoring sessions for 6 months. So they are part of a cohort where they learn about each other, learn more about themselves, and they develop a life plan at the end. So each part of that workbook helps them to develop their life plan, how they're going to handle difficult situations, how they're going to get a job. Do they have their IDs and do they have a place to live? They're thinking through all of these things while they're in so that when they come home, they'll know exactly what they need to do. And then when they come home, we have a coach, someone who holds them accountable for what they said that they were going to do and also assist them as well. And Derek Finner, who's a former NFL player, runs that program. He is someone who himself, when he was in college, was playing Division I ball. He came home for a break and got in a little trouble and spent some time in our local jail. Eventually, the charges were dropped. I think this is back in the 80s. The charges were dropped. And so he was able to continue his college career and eventually play for the NFL. But he never forgot. Derek Finner.
Okay.
But he never forgot.
You got to get him on the show.
You need to get him on because He has some stories. Yes. He has some redemption stories. He has stories of power and courage. And he's been working with these young men. And now we have a program for women as well. So we did the program, started with the men. And last year we added women to our program as well. And I go visit everybody. So I go to the prisons. I visited our women's prison. I visited, of course, several of our men's prisons. And they know me. They're like, Miss Brayboy. but it's such a great program because it really does help people not just understand that they have purpose and that they can be more than, you know, the experiences that they've had thus far, but that there are going to be people here who are going to give them a second chance and welcome them in. And one of the things that I did is that I have not shied away from hiring people, even in this prosecutor's office, who've had records, because if I'm asking people to take a chance, then I have to model that. I have to lead by example.
There you go.
Honestly, I can tell you that those who have been given a second chance, they are amazing workers in the office because they truly appreciate the chance that they've been given, and they have made the most of it.
You know, that's one of the things that I'm really big on, my wife and I, making sure that there are programs and services for those folks to come out, because the stats say that 70% of all Black males have been arrested, got a charge or conviction. So 70% of our male population and a large percentage of the female population that are Black have been impacted by the criminal justice system. And we know that jobs reduce crime, houses make the streets safe. And we need to provide programs and services because we got a big influx of people leaving Washington, D.C. because of the economic situation in D.C. and then the lack of affordable housing. A lot of people from D.C. are moving to PG County, which is we call it New Ward 9.
Ward 9.
And later, y'all are being flooded. And I'm glad that we need resources because, again, 7 out of every 10 Black males has been just as impacted. So we need help. And thank you for what you're doing on that particular field. Go ahead, Nikichi.
Real quick. I want to ask you about your vision, for county executive. But before I do, I've never told you this, and that's why I was correcting my dear brother Roach's pronunciation of your name, Aisha, because I wrote a book a long, long time ago. It's still in manuscript form called Aisha and the Magic Ankh, a children's book. And I know Aisha means life.
So we got to get that one out there. We got to get that release.
I know that's a long, this is like decades and decades ago, but Aisha, but tell us about your vision for the future. Let's hear it.
So, you know, my vision now, because I've learned a lot working in the justice system, I've learned sort of where government has not met the needs of people. And honestly, where maybe our philosophical beliefs and views need to be broadened. I think what we have not had and what we absolutely need is a wealth agenda for our community. I find that a lot of the social ills, a lot of the violence that we are seeing is a result of people who have who are desperate in terms of their financial outlook, you know, that they don't feel like this is what they can do, right, in order to make it. So carjackings, robberies, all of those crimes that are being committed, it's really about cash. It's about money.
There you go.
Everything around me, right? Wu-Tang Clan. In fact, I teach at Bowie State University. I'm an adjunct. And every year I have when my students, are taking the class, I have them listen to that song, and I asked them to, you know, just write a summary of what are you hearing? What is the messaging of the song? And it is so true that people are very concerned about money, and young people, let me tell you, who knows more about the value of money than anyone else is poor people and their children, because they see the toll and impact it takes on their parents, the stress that it has on their parents. I mean, I have a Family Justice Academy, and I remember meeting this one family, the son, he was a little rambunctious, but mom was also very feisty. And one day I said, hey, mom, can I talk to you? And she's like, okay. And I said, tell me, what's going on in your life? And she proceeded to cry. She was in tears. And what was going on with her is that she didn't know where she was going to live the next week, that she was getting kicked out of her apartment. She was stressed out. That stress was transferred to her son. So her son was stressed and he was acting out. But no one knew. They just thought, oh, this is a bad child. But this child isn't bad. The child's going through things because mom is going through things, right? And mom is going through things because her economic outlook is not sunny, right? She was concerned. And when children see that and live in that day in and day out, they want to get theirs. They want to get money. They want to get cash. And we have not given our children real opportunities to legitimately earn a living.
There you go. Yes.
And we haven't also really taken that step to talk to the parent about what's really going on. And so that was the purpose of the Family Justice Academy that I have worked on with our sheriff, John Carr, that really about for those kids who are exhibiting bad behavior, let's figure out what's behind it. And oftentimes what is behind it is people who are stressed out because of finances. And so we have to have an agenda that focuses on building wealth, building economic opportunity, bringing jobs, as well as entrepreneurial opportunities to our community. And government can absolutely help facilitate that. And I often tell people, you know, if you really look at who the wealthiest people in the world are, those companies that are doing so well, they're doing well because they are defense contractors. They're doing business with the federal government. Some are doing business with local and state governments, too. So the government can play a huge role in providing economic opportunities for people. And it's not just about, getting checks from the government. It's really getting opportunities from the government. Because we have a lot of talented people here, but have we invested in them?
Right.
Have we given them opportunities to do business with the county? And oftentimes the answer is no. And that's why I feel like we're in the fiscal constraints we're in with our budget deficit. Right. It's not because of a lack of talent and people here who can help us build a vibrant commercial and business base. It's that government has not invested in those people who have roots in this community, who care about this community, who are willing to stay here. We pay millions and hundreds of millions every year to companies outside of Prince George's County, which means we're building wealth in other jurisdictions, and it just does not make sense. So I am absolutely, and I'm unapologetically going to be championing those who have businesses here, who live here, who are employing our people. And, we got to do it.
Thank you.
I'm reading a book called How Did White Folks Get So Rich? I recommend that people find this little book because it teaches our history and the concept of truly how they did it, which was a lot of just theft. We know it. How did white folks get so rich?
You know, we run out of time and we got a minute or so. And I want to thank the county exec, Aisha Brayboy, for coming in. Lady, I'm impressed with you and I like what you're on track. And what really got me is your professor is our co-host, your former professor.
Yes.
It's quite a relationship we got going on here in the kitchen.
Awesome.
So the election is March 5th.
And actually early voting starts tomorrow February 26th through March 3rd, and then election day is March 4th.
And we had the two leading candidates, Calvin Hawkins and Aisha Brayboy, on because we couldn't have all 8 or 10 of the folk on. Thank you, we appreciate
thank you,
you. And I don't know what else to say. I said thank you, and I've been seeing you every week. I see you somewhere. You with our what's our good friend's name? Jack Johnson's wife.
Oh, Leslie.
Oh, that Leslie is something else. Every time I turn around, she got a handful of flyers. She's doing this. Boy, you got some hard workers. Thank you, Miss Brayboy, for joining.
Thank you.
Love you.
All right. Take care.
March 4th.
All right. Okay. Yes.
And thank you.
And thank you. Okay.
And we ain't taking no jiggy boogie now. No jiggy boogie.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
And Merry Christmas.
All right. Bye-bye. Happy New Year.
That was great.
Happy Black History Month.
Hey. That was
that song, Mike.
Wake up, everybody.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW, and it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon, or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
Climate Friday host Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr. is but one of the black voices in climate and environmental justice that will be featured at this year's Taking Nature Black Conference, March 5th through the 8th. Presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack, all one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Diversity Fund is a grassroots grant source for changemakers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for DC people of the global majority. The deadline for submissions is Friday, March 21st. Details and application information are available at www.diversityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Black is you, black is me, black is us, black is free. Black is me, black is me, black is us, black is free. Black is
for close to 50 years, WPFW has amplified the voices, told the stories, and shared the history and culture of black people throughout the diaspora. In short, we are Black History. Black is WPFW. Texting WPFWFM to 801-801 will help to protect this medium in the black radical tradition so that we can continue to chronicle black hope, sorrow, and resistance.
Black is you, black is me, black is us, black is me, black is me, black is us, black is me.
moun Etazini gen dwa. Kel ke swa estati imigrasyon yo, kont dwa nou se pwemye etap pou proteje tèt nou kont fos imigrasyon la dron ak anfosman, AIS. Ou swa lot ajans la polis ki viole dwa nou kom sitwayen ak imigran. Guide pou proteje dwa nou. Identifye kontak urjans epi memorize numero yo. Rete kalm si AIS ou swa lot otorite la polis apouche ou. Pa kouri, pa diskute, pa reziste, ni pa gome. Ou gen droit pour rester en silence. Ou gen droit pour parler avec yon avocat et pas signer en rien jusqu'à ce qu'on discute avec yon avocat. Si ou la kayou, ou gen droit refuser quitter yon rentrer sauf si yon gen yon mandat judiciaire signé par yon juge. Yon mandat AIS pa ba yon droit rentrer la kayou.